Let's talk about the Zealots, the freedom fighters of ancient Judea. Welcome to another episode of Bible Tidbits powered by LifeWord. Today we are continuing a six-part mini-series that will look at the six groups that form between the Old and New Testaments, five of which are mentioned in the Gospels and in Acts. They are the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, the Zealots, the Sicarii, and the Essenes. Today, we're covering the Zealots. In today's English, we use the word zealot to describe someone who has a fanatical and unwavering devotion to a cause. This all traces back to a group of anti-Roman government Jews in the first century. The Zealots are indirectly mentioned in the New Testament four times, all referring to a disciple of Jesus, Simon the Zealot. Though there were undoubtedly anti-Roman feelings before the Zealots came into existence, this group is thought to have been formed by Judas of Galilee in 6 AD in protest over Roman taxation in Judea. Judas of Galilee, he's not the same Judas who is the disciple of Jesus. Judas was a very popular name in the first century. Now, the Zealots were similar to the Pharisees in most ways: theological positions, obedience to the oral law, and in opposition to the Sadducees. Except that the Zealots believed that the Jewish people should never be subject to another nation's rule. For them, the Jewish faith was inseparable from an independent Jewish nation. To put it another way, they believed that only God had the right to rule over them. Operating for over 64 years, the Zealots' methods and actions became more and more aggressive over time. For the first part of their existence, they were protesters that demonstrated against census taking, taxation, the creep of Jewish culture into Jewish life, and the use of Greek in Judea. They wanted to conserve the way of Jewish life and rule themselves. However, as the worship of the Caesars became more and more popular among Roman subjects and more expected by Roman rulers, the Zealots began ratcheting up political tension between Rome and the Jewish people. After all, the Jewish people were to worship no one but God himself. Now, to help you compare how all of these groups thought, I made this chart. It looks like the political compass, but don't think of it as the same, as the axes are different. The left axis is how politically active they were, and the bottom axis is how much they favored Jewish or Greek culture. As you can see, the Zealots were very politically active and very pro-Jewish culture. In 37 AD, that would be a few years after Jesus' death and resurrection, the Romans forced statues of Caesar to be placed in all Jewish synagogues in the city of Alexandria, Egypt. As a result, extensive rioting broke out in that city in protest. In 40 AD, the riots in Alexandria began again when Jewish people were accused of not worshiping a statue of Caesar. During the riots, the statue was destroyed. In response to these riots and the statue being destroyed, Caesar Caligula ordered that another statue of himself be erected, but not in Alexandria, in Jerusalem and in the temple. Caligula, after a lot of convincing by Herod Agrippa, rescinded his order, keeping Jerusalem from breaking out into riots. In 66 AD, tension between Rome and the Jews reached a boiling point as Roman worship was brazenly taking place in front of a synagogue in Jerusalem. Zealot demonstrators began removing Roman cult sites from Jerusalem. In response, the Roman governor of Judea stormed the temple with troops and emptied the temple's treasury. This obviously caused mass riots to erupt. The governor then began executing many religious and city leaders by crucifixion, despite them having Roman citizenship. That was the final straw. The Zealots then took up arms and quickly overran the Roman military garrison in Jerusalem, erased all Roman symbols from the city, and formed a new elected government of self-rule. Though it sounds like the bad Romans were expelled and now the Jewish people could live in self-determination forever, that's not what happened. There was considerable infighting between the Zealots and the extremely radical Sicarii that became an all-out civil war inside the fortified walls of Jerusalem. Outside the fortified walls of Jerusalem was a mass Roman army of 60,000 troops ready to take back the city. The Romans actually built a second wall around Jerusalem at the same height of Jerusalem's defensive walls. And they did it for two reasons. One, so that no one could escape when the siege of Jerusalem began. And two, it allowed the Romans to capture anyone who was fleeing the civil war happening inside Jerusalem and then crucify them on top of the wall so that Jerusalem could see that there would be no escape. 500 crucifixions happened on this wall every day. It was horrific. Eventually, the city's walls fell, and the Romans completely sacked Jerusalem and destroyed the temple. The first century historian Josephus records that 1.1 million people were killed in the siege, and all the survivors, about 97,000, were taken as slaves. The triumph of the Romans over the Jews is commemorated with the Arch of Titus, which depicts the temple being looted by the Roman soldiers. Though there were still small rebel groups until 73 AD in remote areas of Judea, the Zealot movement ended in 70 AD when they were killed in this battle. So tell me, what's something that you learned in today's video about the Zealots? Let me know in the comments below because it really helps me make better content in the future, and the engagement lets YouTube know that this video is worth sharing. Also, if you have any ideas for future videos in this Bible Tidbits series, drop those in the comments as well. I'd love to hear them. To end each of the videos in this mini-series, I want to give some brief application to our lives about what we learned about each group. Now, some of these will be easier than others. Today, I want to talk about unity in Christ. When Jesus picked his 12 closest disciples, among them was Simon the Zealot and Matthew the tax collector. Think about that. Jesus, on purpose, picked two men from each side of the political spectrum. One, a pro-Roman tax collector, and the other, an anti-Roman, anti-tax demonstrator. The Jesus movement, it's bigger than politics. It's bigger than tax plans, amendments, and ideology. There's nothing wrong with having an opinion on the minimum wage, immigration, and taxation, and all that stuff. But all of those are secondary issues to Jesus. No non-sin issues should rise high enough in priority that it should break the unity between Jesus' followers. You know, I think Jesus changed both Simon's mind and Matthew's mind. I think he got them both to see that there's a higher calling, to serve a higher cause for a higher kingdom. In Mark 12, we read that the leader sent some Pharisees and supporters of Herod to trap Jesus into saying something for which he could be arrested. The leaders being the Sanhedrin, controlled by the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the Herodians. It's all connected. And the question they asked was this: is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Jesus asked for a Roman coin, and when they give it to him, Jesus asked them whose picture is on the currency. Caesar's, they replied. Well then, Jesus said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God. Jesus is telling them not to tie their faith to their nationality. Yes, pay taxes. Yes, love your country. Yes, obey just laws. But God is superior to the state. God's purposes are higher than government's purposes. God's kingdom is eternal. But all the kingdoms of the earth, even the mighty Roman Empire, they're temporary. Bottom line, don't let politics destroy unity among believers. Keep secondary things secondary. Hey, I hope you learned something in this video. If you did, would you please consider sharing it? And be sure to subscribe so that you can catch the next Bible Tidbits video when it drops on Thursday. Before we go, I want to remind you that LifeWord has a huge catalog of Christian programming that will keep you encouraged and strengthen your faith. Look, these times are uncertain, so if you want to listen and watch content that is biblically sound, head over to lifeword.org. They've got that kind of content for days. We'll see you next time. Grace and peace.